Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, we say good morning to everybody. You'll have to forgive us a little bit today. Woody, you could tell Woody, you're going, did Woody just get up? No. Woody was out late last night. We had a few at our WQAM party that we had last night, and it was good, man. It was good meeting a lot of people and hanging out and having a couple. And tell you what, though, Woody, boy, I knew. I was like, okay, I got to go one way or the other, man, before I jump in this Uber. I got to either stay and really enjoy the night and really pay the fiddler in the morning, or you got to know when to say when, right? Isn't that what they always say? Anyway, good morning to everybody. We got a lot of stuff going on here this morning. A lot of news, a lot of games. Got those big games coming up. My God, that University of Miami game is just a couple of days away with Wake Forest. That 12 o'clock start at Hard Rock. Big weekend, by the way, at Hard Rock Stadium. We got the Canes on Saturday with an early game. And we got the Miami Dolphins with a 1 o'clock game on Sunday with a chance to get to 5-6. And you've probably seen all the stuff. Really interesting. I think everybody's been kind of curious. You thought you kind of had the Dolphins figured out. I did. I was like, so the theme has been fast starts, right? 8-3, 9-3, explosive plays, can score quickly. You knew who the characters were by, you know, who got paid and all those things and how good they've been in the passing game. And a lot of people thought it was the best 1-2 punch of receivers in the game with Tyreek and Waddle and kind of the defensive guys coming back from injury. And so I was just like, you go, okay, I got a good idea. And then everybody's on this theme of like, all we got to do now, we got it. We know we're going to get off to a good start, but we got to be able to finish, man. We haven't been a good late November, December into January team. And then this year, starting basically, we got off to a slow start anyway, but Tua gets hurt. So everybody, Tua gets hurt. Tua gets a concussion, misses a month of football, and all of a sudden, you weren't prepared for that one. If we're to be really honest, we weren't prepared offensively. Defense wasn't even that bad. It was just offense was really, really bad. Was the worst offense in football with all our backup quarterbacks. we just were. So then you're going, all right, so this thing could be done. It's over. 2-6. Oh, my God. Pop, 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 pop. And all of a sudden, you win a couple of games. And now I see even ESPN is going, hey, wait a second. They win this game. They're only, a game and a half behind Denver. Everybody's looking at Denver's schedule. And now we've got some things have happened with this team. We've gone from explosive plays to long drives. We've traded in long plays for all these long drives and controlled passing offense, even when the running game doesn't work. Hasn't worked the last couple of games. So we had a great running game for 4 weeks, put up big numbers, and what did we win? One game. Then all of a sudden, we can't run it, but we got this controlled passing game that is like a running game. A lot of first down throws for 6, 7, 8 yards and really taking care of the ball like last game. No punts, no turnovers. Scored just about every time you had the ball, either a field goal or a touchdown. So, man, things have changed. There have been some changes in everybody's roles a little bit. Although it's hard to read because the only way you know is on game day because the coaches are, God bless them, super positive about everybody, even guys that aren't playing great. And I get that and I respect that as a former player. I respect, like, every guy knows if he's playing well or not. Fans got a pretty good idea if you're playing well or you're not. The media has gotten pretty good. At knowing if you're playing well or not. And the coaches definitely know. So we see Mike make some changes. One guy was let go. A couple other guys have lost playing time. But doing all that, they've still been able to keep everything positive. This goes back to you know, critique guys, but pat them on the back, man. We're not here to embarrass you with anybody. And sometimes it bothers everybody. Like, why is that coach on Friday? When those position coaches tell us some guy's playing well, I come in here and shake my head and go, why'd he do that? Why did he say that? Why did he say that knowing we watched him miss a tackle, miss blocks, getting, you know, losing one-on-one, and the guy comes in and goes, oh, my God, we're seeing progress. And you're like, what are we doing? And it's part of Mike's culture. It's just not bad. And again, we got called out in front of everybody. And it was embarrassing. And it was hard. It was motivating. It was something on your off day before. If we had an off day and then we come in on Tuesday, he'd give us Monday off and we'd be back in on Tuesday. It was terrible. Your Monday was destroyed because you had three or four plays in your brain that you ran the wrong route. You missed a blitz break off. You dropped a football. You missed a tackle on special teams. You knew Don Shula was going to call you out in front of the whole team. Nothing more embarrassing than getting called out in front of everybody. It works. It works, but it's embarrassing. And, you know, sometimes he'd get real fired up with you and call you out a little bit more. And then on top of that, I had the head coach was always in the offensive meetings. He considered himself kind of the offensive guy and let Arnsey run the defense, who was considered to be the best defensive coordinator in football for years. So shoes didn't touch it. Those guys had great success, had a good thing worked out between them. But I got to tell you, man, so I see that stuff. I sit in here, and especially when the position coaches talk to the media and they're asked about guys, and they're usually asked about guys that are either playing really, really well or guys that seem to be struggling and getting picked on and stuff. And it comes back, hey, you know, he could have made this play, but gosh, we're really pleased. And the other guy loves playing with him. I tell you what, he's just such a great team guy. You know, and by the time you're done, you're going, wow. What I just saw on how he played is not matching up with. But listen, man, I get the positive reinforcement. Any old guy that would tell you that they wouldn't have wanted it is full of you know what. And so it's just interesting. But Mike McDaniel, you're entitled to nothing on this team. I was very surprised to hear him say that. You're entitled to nothing. If you're not playing well, and I know it, and everybody else knows it, and now you're getting picked on, if you're a good teammate, we got to keep you, but we got to take playing time away from you because the other guy's playing better. Or if you don't handle the demotion very well, then we will let you go. We will give you your wish and let you go. So it's, and by the way, doing all of it and sounding real positive about the guy. Oh, man, want to thank the guy for what he's done. He's been great. Oh, my gosh, he's been a great teammate. Love coaching him. Can't thank him enough for the work he's done here. So anyway, we'll get into a lot of Dolphin stuff as they got a chance to get to 5-6 saying all that. And the one thing Mike has done, he's kept this team together, which tells you this team's got a lot of character. They play as a team, play as group. They got good leadership. They do have good leadership. The defense has, to me, the biggest thing they've got going is not all the star power on the defense. They do have some really good players, don't get me wrong. But they play well together right now, man. Whatever they're supposed to do assignment-wise, if they're supposed to go into a zone down in the red zone, I mean, they do just, and if they blitz, man, it's just whatever they're doing right now, and Anthony Weaver's dialing up. It looks good. It works, and it's been fun to watch, and just guys have stayed positive with everything going on. I thought actually read an article. Chris Perkins had a great article. Perk's been all over the board, on and off everybody's bandwagon. Poor Perk, he doesn't know whether to jump on or off the bandwagon here with everything going on. But I really liked his article. I thought, I do that article of the day thing, but I thought Perk stuff was really good. So we got another story coming out that somebody gave me a heads up on it, and sure enough, it's in the papers. But I was warned it was coming. Now Northwestern, Teddy Bridgewater's team, is being investigated by the Florida High School Athletic Association as they get set for round two of the playoffs. For another guy, we call him a fifth-year player, which is not allowed. There's no redshirt year in high school football. So he's gone too many semesters, consecutive semesters, to school. So we got a little problem going on in Dade County for all you people up early this morning that are following the high school playoffs. And I and some of our teams have already forfeited games. And in the case of Central, either our best or second best or third best team, seems like every year here in South Florida, they forfeited all their games and not allowed to go to the playoffs. And now somebody's ratted out Teddy, and Teddy had a strong message yesterday. I could be in the NFL. I turned down jobs because I wanted to do this, but I'm going back to the NFL after this because I'm not going to put up with what everybody's doing to kids and grown-ups, turning every program in. And I thought about it, and I went, yeah. But at the same time, and I agree, I'm not big, and this thing's been going on for a long, long time. But there was an understanding between all the coaches, especially the guys who've been around a long time. They call each other out, from what I've been told through the years. Like, hey, I don't appreciate you taking my guy and the way you handled it. But at the end, a lot of those guys grew up together, so there was still some kind of respect between them. And now, once certain teams got turned in, then they started turning teams in. And then they basically, if I'm going to be at a disadvantage or I'm out, I'm going to turn you in because you did the same thing. And that's really never been a Dade County thing, man, ratting each other out like this. It hasn't. Now, the other side of this is you don't have to worry about getting ratted out if you play by the rules. And if you have a really good guy coming to your school, you might want to do a background check. Somebody between a principal, athletic director, coach, somebody might want to go, hey, this guy, because everybody knows who the good players are. There's no secrets. Dade and Broward are swapping players back and forth. We got guys from Dade going up to play in different Broward schools, and we got Broward kids shooting back down, and so there's a lot of traveling. Somehow, a lot of cars are traveling back and forth for this football stuff. But listen, I feel bad for Teddy if he goes down. I don't know what's going to happen, but by the way, he wrote that up. I saw his stuff they put in the paper. But at the same time, Teddy, somebody in your school. And I know maybe it's been going on, like, hey, we do it, it's no big deal. If he's not playing for me, be playing for somebody. He's really a good player. But maybe this will clean. Maybe all this ratting each other out and then denying it, that wasn't me. And people are blaming Norlin for everything, by the way. I'm not going to hide it anymore. Norlin, everybody's claiming Norlin is going around and going, they've got an illegal player, they've got an illegal player. I don't know if it's true. But I'm telling you what people are saying when my phone blows up about this high school stuff, which I do care about because it's a bad look for all of us when our best schools and we do a game and I got two guys from Northwestern High School playing for the Rams and playing really well. And then you go, yeah, how are they doing this year? Well, they were cheating, so they're not. I mean, come on, man. We get enough. Now it's in high school football, which is really, really good stuff down here. We got to go to break here, man. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. We got a ton of stories, excuse me, in the NFL. I did a lot of talking last night too, Woody. You know, in front of your voice got a certain amount of hours a day that it can yap. And And then on top of that.
You hit yours last night, huh?
Well, the tequila probably didn't help. The tequila probably didn't help here. But this was how I feel on Saturday nights, not in the middle of the week.
Going into Sunday morning, or is Friday night feel?
No, this is a Saturday night going into that Sunday little hangover for the game, that little light hangover, you know? So anyway, we got more stuff to get to. Pete Prisco is going to join us from CBS Sports, Football Insider. A lot of stuff going on in the NFL. Who would have thought maybe the most dysfunctional team in the NFL right now is the Jets? Think about that one, Woody. When this thing started this year, the Jets were, oh, no, the Jets are better than the Dolphins. I think the Jets could win the AFC East now that Aaron Rodgers is back and the improvements they've made and the money they spent on their O-line. They got that great defense coming back, and they were the team. And all of a sudden, that thing is an absolute crap show. It really, and I'm dying to say the S word. I can't say it anymore. I'm starting to get in trouble here. Anyway, Pete Prisco will join us next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, and good morning. Happy Thursday to everybody. That means Thursday night, you know, Steelers at the Browns. And by the way, as you know, Miami Dolphins at the end of the season will play Cleveland. Again, I don't want to beat this thing up, but some people starting to jump on the bandwagon going, you know, the Dolphins are playing better. And honestly, which you can't control, because nobody thought Cleveland was going to be this bad, and nobody thought the Jets were going to be this bad. And you got them three games coming up here at the end of the season. That's three of your games. So you got to win. You have to win those games. And so we'll find out. Steelers at 8-2 take on the Browns tonight, and curious to see just what the Browns look like, because that coach sounds like he might be in big trouble as well. And we got a lot of other good things going on. Semifinalists for the Hall of Fame class came out yesterday. Left tackle Richmond Webb. You know, I thought, and I know there's a lot of really good offensive linemen, I thought Richmond Webb would have been in the Hall of Fame by now. I have been surprised. I think Mark Clayton still might get in someday, but obviously, that the numbers that these receivers are putting up compared to the numbers of players when Mark played, and it's going to take a while, because Reggie Wayne is out there again. Reggie Wayne's been in this final list now, it seems like, a lot. And speaking of that, both Reggie Wayne and Vince Wilfork, the great defensive tackle, one of those many great defensive tackles that played at the University of Miami, also is a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame class of 2025. So all that stuff. By the way, I see everybody's got this big thing about Eli Manning. Eli Manning, first-time Hall of Famer for you, Woody?
He is, yeah.
Because he beat Brady twice?
Yes, and his numbers are there.
and the Super Bowl, he beat Brady. I mean, he didn't just beat him in the regular season.
I got to tell you this, though. The other thing, like with Eli, and I hate to do this because I know this is not supposed to be part of it, but the human part of it, like he's really a likable guy. I know, dude. Oh, I know, God. That's not supposed to have anything to do
why
with it.
Why is it, man? Why?
But, man, I like him. Don't you? Like, he's just...
I do, but we got to be careful on this, because every guy...
Yeah, but it comes into play, right? When there's a guy that's been a total scumbag his entire career.
But it shouldn't.
I understand.
Just because a guy comes... We got a couple guys on our team right now that just want to play football and be left alone.
That's one thing too. That's fine. But like when you have a guy that's a really bad guy, right, and you're deciding whether to put him in or not, that will unfortunately play a role because people are human.
But Woody, man,
it's people voting.
Come on, man. Like of all things, we're talking about Hall of Fame, and we're going to turn it into some kind of popularity contest. Well,
baseball
of who
has.
You like. Well, what do you
right?
mean?
I mean, baseball's turned into that, essentially.
That's a bad example, because baseball's just down on the guys that did steroids.
Allegedly.
Is that what you're talking
allegedly,
about?
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly? You think? What do you think Barry Bonds is? Because Barry hadn't gotten in. What do you think Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds? Guilty or not?
I think probably guilty.
Probably?
Yeah.
I think Barry Bonds has got this big lie in his gut forever, because he is just in total denial late in his life when those numbers exploded and that body completely changed. He's already a great hitter.
Well, what do you think, on his deathbed, he's going to admit to it? Like,
no. I think a lot of those guys, or they said they accidentally took one thing that their trainer didn't tell them about, you know, and go, no. That can't be a one-time dose that you do that. So I don't know, man. It shouldn't be a popularity contest. It should just be about what you see and not who signs your autograph and who didn't and who was a jerk and who was a jerk to a local media guy and jumped in his face one day. Or, you know, Woody, I wish you wouldn't have said that. But Eli Manning is a nice guy. The Manning family are nice people.
You didn't like that wrinkle I threw at you?
No, I freaking hate that. I really do.
Especially, you know, that stuff comes into play a little bit.
It does. But it shouldn't. Should be about, no, listen, if you got a murder or something.
Murder. That's where you draw the line?
Well, I mean,
murder.
But Woody, the problem with you? No. Yeah.
Isn't OJ in?
He is in. And they're not taking him out.
You've got a murder.
But only you, while we're talking about something, go, I got to tell you. I'm talking about Eli's friggin' numbers. Like, what he did. He's got good numbers, and he did win two Super Bowls, and they happened to both be against Tom Brady's Patriots when they were heavy underdogs in the one game. Hell, they're going to be undefeated. And Eli Manning, they're going to be undefeated. I'm guessing a lot of people that care about that the Dolphins are still the only undefeated team, really like Eli Manning a lot. Because if it wasn't for that, Tom Brady would have had another championship and been undefeated, what, like 19 or whatever it is now, to finish the season in playoffs and win a Super Bowl.
All right, so 561 says the Eli likable factor is interesting because most people didn't really take to him until after his playing career was on TV. He was always a dopey player with a bad expression on his face. Things went wrong. He was playing. Now he could do no wrong on TV. He's one of the most likable figures. He is. He's very likable. And I enjoy watching him on TV. I think he's fun. And, yeah, I mean,
his brother's picked him up and done a lot of good things
for him. That may be so.
No, it's not bad. I'm just saying, but the Manning family's close.
Man, when you're one of the few very likable people on TV, and, you know,
would you say
it matters?
One of the few? Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys on TV that, you know, it's like a race to see who could say the craziest thing usually. But
like you just said about the
I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that it's crazy to think that people that are voting for these things are human.
I was literally thinking,
hey, man, let me ask you, if Omar, and that's probably a really bad example.
There you go again. Why are you bringing Omar into this?
Because I think Omar is like everyone else. He's just more vocal about it. You know, people like who they like and they dislike who they like. It's just how it is.
I like Omar, but he says some wild ass stuff.
I know, but you know.
He says some stuff,
but you know that every writer has their people that they like.
Yes. The human side of things.
And those are people that vote.
I don't disagree with that.
So what's your issue here?
First of all, it can't just be nice guy. It's got to start with numbers.
His numbers are there. His Super Bowls
and championship. Should he be a Hall of Famer in this first time around?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong to take a guy's personal.
Probably, by the way, he's probably going to get in. I would guess right now that he will get in, playing for the Giants, winning a couple of Super Bowls. That's probably pretty good on the resume. Had some really good years, and then late in his career. He didn't. Late in his year, you remember Kurt Warner was rotating time with him and everything else. But, yeah, he had a good career, real good career. We got to go
sorry to do that. Yeah, I mean,
no, that's fine. We'll just do nice guys. We'll do nice guys since you're into
I don't know if you thought I was
going to
hit you with
guy.
That or not. I guess you probably didn't, but.
I just.
You know how it goes. Bro, you do your baseball thing every year with those guys, and you know that it's personal with a lot of that stuff.
It's not personal with the steroids. It's not personal if there's a lot of guys go, he's dirty, his numbers are dirty, and they want him in. They don't want him in.
So
by the way,
do you think Barry Bonds should be in?
No.
Why not?
Because he's dirty. I think he's been dirty for a lot of his career. And by the way, if he didn't do it so much, I think he would have been in no matter what.
And I think you'll never admit it right now on the air, but I know that you dislike him personally.
He played for my friggin' team.
I know, but I know you think he's a bad guy, and I know that you'll never admit that. Right now, because it wouldn't help your case.
All right.
You know that, though. You know people think he's a bad guy.
I think everywhere. I think everywhere Barry Bonds has been, including as a teammate, he's been known as a bad guy. The guys on the Giants team, he and Jeff Kent used to fight. And Jeff Kent's not a very good guy either, by the way. Not exactly. That's a bad example. Okay. Let me take that one back. Jeff Kent went to Berkeley and not a great human being either. Hey, we got 7 o'clock hour coming
Berkeley
up here.
Did you produce any good people, or are you guys all personality issues?
I know you didn't see it because you probably didn't watch the baseball when Kent and Bonds were playing together and actually played on some really good teams. Used to fight while in the dugout. They'd have to break it up every so often. Those two just did not like each other. And both were equally known to be jerks. Loctite, man, nothing bad about them. Chev and Loctite doing great work. Want to let you know, man, hurricane season is not over yet. It's getting close. But he wants to let you know, hey, Joe, this company's rolling right now. We want to let people know if they need impact windows and doors, if they need a new roof. We do it all, man. 100% financing, zero down. The roofing part of our company's just as good as those folks have been doing the impact windows and doors. It's broken up, a lot of different parts to it. We're very well run with real quality people, quality work at great prices for you. Impact windows, doors, and roofing, no interest, no payments for a year. They really do it all. And by the way, don't wait for the next storm. Loctite services the whole Tri-County area. They're in West Broward, but they cover Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. Loctite takes care of all the permits and HOA approvals, so you don't have to. Man, I'm telling you right now, it is great work they're doing over there. They're a one-stop shop for you. All you have to do is make a call. They're Loctite's a licensed and insured contractor. Here's a phone number. Give them a call today. And one of their knowledgeable folks that answer the phone will take good care of you and get the whole process started. 954-500-LOCK. 954-500-LOCK for Loctite. Call them today.